This episode is sponsored in part by PTZ Optics. Why hire a camera operator when the control is in your hands? Visit ptzoptics.com for more information. And by NewTek, makers of the TriCaster TC1. Stun your viewers, not your accountant. Visit newtek.com for more information.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of Stories from the Cabin from No Boundaries Outdoors. I am Stephen Haywood. Joined, as always, we have from his man cave, but he tells his wife every price of everything he wants to buy, Braden Pennington.
How's it going, y'all?
Hashtag impulse buy.
Yep.
We're going to get that trending yet. Also, we have all the way from Louisiana, we have one of the duck men. I'm just kidding. We have Jake Oxenford. Welcome.
How's it going, guys? What's up?
And then also, not too far from me, we have our special guest today. We've got Roy Stoffer from Thorn Broadheads. Welcome, Roy.
How you doing? How's everybody doing out there?
We are doing good. We're excited to talk with you because a couple of episodes ago, Braden and Jake started asking me all these questions about the new broadhead that you brought out because they didn't get theirs yet. So, you know, I got them and, you know, we were wondering. So I said, you know what, I'm going to reach out and see if we can get them on because I think there's other people in the chat room that were also wondering some questions because it's gone through different iterations. So before we get into that, why don't you tell a little bit about what you do at Thorn for those that might not know who you are and what you do there?
Well, I've been with Thorn since about summer of 2019 through a mutual friend of Andy. Andy and I kind of met, and he was looking basically for a financial backer to get him started. And I was looking for a way to get into the outdoor industry, and it seemed like a good mesh. So we met, we decided that this was going to work. And I've been working with him ever since. He does all the brawn, and he's the one that gets his fingers cut by putting all the broadheads together, and I get to be the one that sits back and gets the books balanced and pays the bills. And I get to do most of the hunting because he's working, so I get to go out and test a lot of these products. Well, I make him stay back and build broadheads. So that's the best part of the job anyway.
I was laughing because I called Roy the other day, and I said, "Oh, you know, I haven't talked to Andy in a while," and he goes, "I have him locked in the basement making broadheads." So that was his response. So I hope you feed him at
least. Somebody's got to build them, you know.
That's right.
But you also have your own gun shop, right?
Yes, I have a gun shop here in Pennsylvania, just a small one. It's called Stoffer Firearms. I'm on Facebook. Primarily, we do just about anything as custom builds as far as ARs or anything like that. It just seems like that's kind of the big push right now. But I do the rifles, the pistols, the handguns. And I have working with me and working for me is a lot of, I have one gentleman that does the NRA safety course that he'll do. I've got another gentleman that does Archangel Defense, which will teach you all kind of self-defense tactics. And he's got a basic course, clear up to advanced course. And we pretty much can take care of any needs you would have as far as firearm safety, learning your weapon, learning how to use it, learning how to protect yourself with it. And it's a pretty good operation.
That's pretty awesome because Braden was just talking in pre-show, and you guys missed that. But Braden was, you're looking to buy another gun, and you mistakenly told your wife how much it costs. Why? What were you thinking?
Yeah, I'm not really sure what I was thinking on that, but her response was, "Sell your dirt bike and you can buy that gun." So I think I may have messed up there.
And then
so Braden has an ad up for a dirt bike, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
But then Jake gets on, and what did you say?
That I'm trying to sell my four-wheeler to buy a tractor that I want, and I took my wife with me to go look at it, and the guy announced the price right in front of me and didn't, like, let off a few thousands or anything. He just said the full price, and my wife's standing out there, and she just turns and looks at me, and I'm like, come on, bud. You know the rule here. You got to knock a few thousand off of the price and tell me the real price on the side. We don't, can't be telling the real price, but so yeah, now I have a four wheeler I gotta put up for sale to get a tractor.
We messed up.
And Roy and I are just sitting here just shaking our heads. I don't know, guys. I don't know. So you guys in the chat room, you're going to have to give these guys instructions on what not to do next time. So I actually, before we get into a little bit here with the thorn, I actually, as Braden always calls it, he calls them impulse buys. So I had been looking for a blind that I could put out there so I can hunt with my son. He's still working on the compound bow and trying to get that back. He's about 32 pounds right now. So he's been using the crossbow. So I've been looking for a blind that I could elevate, and I found one from Millennium here that I ordered, which it's soft shell. I can take that off in the wintertime and just leave the frame up all year round. But all the reviews and things I've seen with it, seems pretty solid. And I have a Millennium tree stand as it is, a two-person that my wife and I use. I thought it was pretty good. I mean, any of you guys have any experience with using something similar to that? Or, I mean, do you like these style elevated blinds? This will be my first one I've ever used out of that.
Yeah, I mean, I've used box blinds before, ones that were built on the property that we hunted. Usually we try taking a buddy heater and with us to put at our feet while we're usually shotgun hunting. But nothing ever with, like, the mesh or the fabric frames. So definitely interested to see how that works out for you.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I know we can get a thorn out of it. That I do know. It's wide. Yeah. I'm bringing this up for a reason, because you guys were saying how you told your wives, you told them the price. Yeah, that didn't happen here. It was ordered and then,
It just showed up.
It didn't show up.
I don't know how this happened.
Hasn't showed up yet.
Hooked you up and showed up your doorstep.
Yeah, I'm sure once she watches the show here later, once she's done, you know, with her book club, she's going to be like, so.
Let me check the bank account.
Yes, pretty much. So let's get started with a little bit of this. We actually, we had been using thorn broadheads since, I want to say it was 2018, because we were at the ATA show, and I'll pull that up. But Braden, I'm going to let you talk through this a little bit while I pull this up. You shot a few animals with yours.
Yeah, so that right there is the OG Thorn. And that would be the Rift 2.2.
I'll go back to this one here for you.
Yeah, the bear. That was, like I said, that was with the OG Thorn. And he was actually at 62 yards whenever I shot him. And, I mean, as you can see in the picture there, it just... I mean, it tore him up. But the worst part about it, I shot him. I watched him run off, and it got dark, and I forgot my headlamp. Rookie move there. But I forgot my headlamp, and I didn't have any blood because the hole was so big, the intestines were actually hanging out of him as he was running off. So the hole was plugged, basically. So I actually had to go in the next day and... Basically, where I last saw him, there he was, probably 75 yards from where I shot him at. But, yeah, whenever I skinned him out, I mean, I was just blown away by the hole put in him. And basically, I was hooked from there.
And Roy was telling me in pre-show, how many animals were killed before with using these heads? With a single head?
We've had one hunter that's killed 9 animals with one head.
That's insane.
Wow.
And, you know, we started last year a reblading kit too. I mean, a reblading program, so that for those that maybe you hit it off a rock or a tree stump and you do nick the blade or dull it pretty bad, if you send them back to us, we'll clean them up. And if they need rebladed, we'll reblade them and ship them back to you. And I want to say it's like $20 to do 3 blades or something like that.
Nice.
I'm glad I know that now.
So this next one here is what you had, the deer.
Yeah, that was a buck I shot a couple years ago. Actually, he's
Nice. Is that the same one there? Oh, you got him right there in front of you.
Yeah,
you
go. That's him right there. Nothing huge, but...
Hey. Yeah, so I was with the Rift 2.2s,
and like I said, it was... I believe that was like right around a 30-yard shot, and it blew right through him. And I mean, he ran maybe 20 yards and piled up. I saw him go down from my stand. So, like I said before, I'm one of them guys. Once I get hooked on a broadhead, I'm sticking with it. I've shot some does, a couple bucks with them, and they're the best performing broadhead I've used. I mean, I've used Rocket Steelheads, Rage, Grim Reapers, and by far the Thorn are by far my favorite performance wise and everything else. And I love the design, how they hide in that head to make it look like a field tip.
Yeah, we're gonna get into that a little bit with the design. I know the first time, Roy, we went to ATA. It was our first ATA. It was 2018. And we had been coming back from lunch. I'm going to pull this up here. This is a picture where we got stopped in the hallway. We were coming back from lunch. Our cameraman, he was carrying the camera. These guys, Steve and I forget the other gentleman's name. But
that's Greg.
Greg, yes. They stopped us and they were like, hey, you need to come by our booth. You need to see this. This is the most accurate broadhead. I'm sitting there going, that's a pretty big claim, you know. Like, he's like, no, I promise you, this is the most accurate. He said, you got to come to our booth. So, like, I have another picture. We walked over to this. You can see these are the smaller booths because they just had a couple backdrops. And it was just like in a corner of the hall. No, not really a lot of people were there, you know. And Andy was there, and we interviewed him and you know, put it out there and started showing. I think he had it, and I was looking for the picture where he showed it went through, which I'm sure you've seen it on display that he has there. It went through the skull, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he was showing us this, and he handed me one of the OGs, and he said, here, take it back and try it. He said, I guarantee it. He says, talk to me after. So we did. We took it back, and then, like, we couldn't believe it. Like, we were putting up against, like, Braden. I was using stuff like, you know, Grim Reaper and Dead Ringers, and I was furious with the Dead Ringers because, you know, they were trying to tell me my bow wasn't fast enough to shoot one of their broadheads, and I had like the fastest Hoyt on the market, the Carbon Spider ZT Turbo at the time, and it wouldn't penetrate. I have for a future episode, I'll show that to the audience, but yeah, I mean, these were like, that was our first experience with the Thorn broadheads. And like I said, you've seen some of the holes that Raiden had. Unfortunately, I didn't take any of the pictures of the holes, but I've killed. They don't run far. Like, even the doe this year, I shot the crossbow one, and I shot that deer. The doe piled up 30 yards away. Big hole, bled out, no problem. So, tell us a little bit about the innovation behind the broadhead. What is the reason of tucking the blades? I mean, there's other companies out there that tuck the blades, no O-ring. What makes this so iconic?
Well, basically, it was designed because we were looking for a broadhead that would fly like a field point. Because what's the biggest problem you have is you tune your bow, you put your broadhead on, and then you have to start all over again because the broadhead does not fly like your field point. So we wanted to eliminate that step. That was the original design, and that's why we did what we did. And we put the rip tip on it. We put the shear pin in it so that way that there's no O-rings. It's going to fall off in flight. There's not going to be any issues whatsoever. We were trying to look for the most flawless broadhead you're ever going to find. And I think we've done that. And now we're just basically taking that and trying to go even further and better with it.
So I'm going to pull up real quick. My brother-in-law, he just texted me. And he showed, this is a heart shot that he did with the Thorn. He If you want an example, he said, there you go.
Wow.
So with that, you went through some different iterations. You came out with the 1 3/4, which was what we've all been right. calling the OG, yep. the orange, right?
Right. That's our original
right.
OG and the original orange.
Then you had people. Then you had people say, "Well, 1 3/4 isn't. We want 2 inches."
Right. So that's when we designed. We started working on the rift.
Okay.
And the rift is actually 2.2.
Okay.
And we released that in 2019, and that's been very successful. And we shoot them both in compounds and crossbows. And you got to be specific because we do actually package them specifically for crossbows or compounds. We have a little bit of a different color in the shear pins, and there's a collar on it to match up the diameter of the arrow, the bolt that you're using. And that's basically why we want to know if you're shooting a compound or crossbow.
So,
and then we come out with a fixed blade because everybody wanted a fixed blade. And then, of course, the new one this year.
The fixed blade being the crown, right? The crown?
Correct. That's our crown. It's got 8 cutting blades. It's a total inch in diameter of cutting surface, 3 1/4 inches overall cutting surface. It's going to go in and it's going to cut a hole. And that's it right there.
I'll pull that
so it's
up
got there. A lot of blades. It makes wonderful blood trails. I've got some stuff posted on my personal page that shows you some of the holes when we were field testing that, how well it works. And we've got a lot of people that like it, but we're finding that the people that like it are the ones that only shoot fixed blades and no other.
Right.
I know Braden was looking into it at some point. He was, I bet, you know, you were shooting, mechanicals.
Yeah, I've shot mechanical. I mean, I started out shooting muzzies, so I shot fixed blades for quite a few years. But then whenever I made the switch to the rocket steelheads, I fell in love with the idea of the mechanical broadhead. And like I said, I really haven't had much failure with any of the mechanicals I've used. I think if I would have had a traumatic failure, I probably would have threw them away and went back to the fixed blades. But no, whenever Thorn came out with the crown, it was one of those things where I was set on mechanicals, but at the same time, I'm like, that's a wicked head, and I'm sure it puts a devastating hole in whatever you're shooting. And like Roy, you said, the blood trails that it would give. So that's mainly why I was leaning toward a fixed blade, just to try out to see if I liked it.
Believe it or not, we almost scratched the whole idea. The crown almost didn't make it into being, just simply because we couldn't get it to fly straight. We could get it to fly straight, but we couldn't get it to fly like the field pins were. And, you know, right. that's been our claim to fame since we started. So we started with 4 blades, and we was tinkering around with it. We had the whole crew was in on it, and then they finally come up with the design that we have now. And we're going to we put our stamp of approval and our guarantee on this one, just like we do with the OG and the Rift, that it's going to fly like your field point. And the cutting surface in it is, I mean, everybody says it's only an inch. It's only an inch, but it's an inch diameter hole through there. You can put a 12-gauge shotgun slug through the hole that broadhead is going to make.
Yeah,
it's
the
not
way
going
the,
to close up.
The way the blades are pattern out all through the head makes it a circle, unlike say the 2-blade thorns or whatever, where you're getting a cut, you're getting a hole with the crown, which I think that's why I was fascinated with the thought of the crown, to be honest.
Yeah, it seemed like you were just, like you said, how a shotgun hole, that's what I would picture, like you shooting, it's like shooting with a shotgun, you're gonna see blood, nothing's gonna clock that hole.
So let's talk about this for a second. So you went from the 1 3/4 to the 2.2 on the Rift.
Mm-hmm.
After that was said and done, okay, because everybody wanted a 2-inch cut. That seems to be the go-to. People complain. So you said, all right, you know, we're going to give you 2.2. Well, now you come out with the XV, which is a little bit different design. And from what I'm seeing here, and you correct me if I'm wrong, But
okay,
having the removable tip, if you hit a rock, you can pull that off, you know, get a new tip for it. But there's no shear pin, there's no ferrule on the top of this to push it. You're actually gauging it off of the blades on this one. What was the reasoning for the change in design on that?
Well, what we were looking for is everybody was looking for, basically, we were looking for a lower cost broadhead to produce. We have a great product, we have a great broadhead, but now we were missing some of the market, those that wanted a really good broadhead, but they didn't want to spend $50 or $60 to get it. So the whole design behind the XV was we wanted a broadhead that we could put our seal of approval on or guarantee on and keep it under $40. And that's why the design changes. That's why we went with the fixed head versus the rip tip cut design that plunges, so to speak. And we use the blades as the portion that actually shears the pin. We still keep the shear pin design. That's all the same. And we went down to a 2-inch cut versus the 2.2, and we're standing behind it just like everything else. We're still going to get the same field point accuracy with these as we are with anything else.
Also with this, okay, I'm going to pull up the camera here. With this, on the Rift and the OG, you have this little clip that you put in between the ferrule and the barrel of the broadhead, so you can practice with this so that the blades aren't deploying. What about with the new broadhead with the XV? Is there a trick to practicing? Let me get this in focus here. Is there a trick to practicing with this, or is that just not the case with it because that's one of the sacrifices for having a
chip? Right. It's one of the sacrifices we had to give up is we had to give up the practice clip because there's no way we could make it not deploy without, you know, once you hit a target with it. And we were more looking for accuracy and price points at this point. That's why the design that we came up with. But we are entertaining the idea of maybe making a mock broadhead that would look like this, and you can use it for practicing. In other words, the blades would be locked in place. There would be no way they would come out. It's just something that we're thinking about. We're kicking the idea around. Mm-hmm. But we go back to our original claim, practice with your field points.
Yeah.
And then once you're tuned in, take your field point out, put this in, it's going to fly the same.
Right.
I have this here too, so we can kind of explain a little bit of the process of sticking in the shear pin here. But what we're going to do, I think first what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back here in just a few minutes. So stay with us we show you some more with Thorn. How to put one of these shear pins in, some of the other accessories that Thorn has to help you do that. Stay with us. We'll be right back right after this.
Apex Gear, known for their performance-driven archery sights and accessories, is pleased to introduce the new Covert Series archery sight. VersaPin technology allows shooters to change the pin color and pin size on demand in an instant. The compact and lightweight sight is equipped with stainless steel hardware, micro-adjustable windage and elevation, an ultra-smooth, easy one-hand adjustment knob for quick yardage changes, and a micro-push button light. The new Covert Series from Apex Gear.
Confidence is key, and when bow hunting, confidence can be defined by one word: accuracy. Introducing the Thorn Expandable Broadhead. Its patented hidden blade technology guarantees field point accuracy, and the patented rip tip grabs at hide and flesh, ensuring deployment and beginning the process of devastation. Its stainless steel blades render up to a massive 2.2-inch cut. For confidence and accuracy, there is only one choice. Thorn Broadheads, the world's most accurate broadhead.
All right, we're back, and we want to thank the guys for sponsoring us and continue supporting the show here. Braden actually had a question during the break that he was asking Roy. I'm going to kick it over to him, and it was a great question.
Yeah, so basically I was asking Roy, obviously he's co-owner of Thorn, and he shoots all the heads. My question to him was, what's his favorite head out of all of the designs they made?
I'm still a stickler for the original. I like the OG. It's been my favorite. It's been my go-to since we started. Now the XV, I've had a lot of success with the practice with when we were field testing, but I still go back, and it's still the OG is my go-to. And I like it primarily because A, 1 3/4 does a lot of damage. I killed one of the first animals I killed with it was a 360-pound bear, which is right here in my backyard, basically.
Wow. Okay.
And it was just, he went 35 yards. And the thing that I like most about it is whether you're shooting 50 pounds, 60 pounds, 70 pounds on your bow, that's going to give you the most penetration. Sometimes when you go with those bigger cuts, a lot of people don't understand the kinetic energy that's involved. If you're not shooting the exact right setup, you're not going to get the penetration. Right. For me, penetration is the key. So I stick with the 1 3/4, and I blow through them all the time.
Right. Yeah, like you said, Roy, your first kill with the OG was a bear. That was same with mine. Mine was a 275-pound bear at 62 yards. And I mean, you guys saw the hole. I was just blown away by it. From that point on, I was sold. I mean, it didn't matter if I killed another deer or bear or whatnot. I was sold on that head just because of the damage it did at such a far distance.
Yeah, mine was about 40. And like I said, he went about 35 yards. And when he piled up, and it was just, I didn't even have to, it was getting dark when I shot. And I didn't even need a light to follow the blood trail. Mm. I went down 35 yards and there he was laying.
Yep.
And like you, it's just, that's been my baby ever since. And that's my go-to. And Andy gives me a hard time about it because he tells me I need to use all of them.
So what I do, right.
But I'm going to use the OG.
That's right.
The beauty is they don't go far. It's nice. Like this year when I shot it, it was just like, you just hear it crash 30 yards away and you just go, I didn't even look for blood. I just walked down where I saw it last and it was laying there. So I'm like, okay, going back to get the cart. You know, it was just, it was one of those things. So talk to us a little bit about this. So, you know, you're going to get the skeptics out there. Okay. And they're going to say, okay, you guys say you are the most accurate broadhead on the market. Your packaging, at least for the XV, says up to 750 feet per second, extreme velocity.
Right.
So mm-hmm. Being the skeptic, well, so what are you saying, Roy, that if I use this broadhead, it's going to fall apart at 750 feet per second? What are you selling me on this XV being 750 feet per second?
Well, when we first designed it, we were looking at cost points. We were trying to keep the price of the broadhead down, but we wanted a broadhead that was going to perform to the standards that we've always expected from our broadheads.
Mm-hmm.
And when we come up with the design, we use a titanium tip, we use the strong, the aluminum, and we've actually field tested these out of these new Airbows, you know, the Umarex and the Seneca, and they're shooting 650, 700 feet per second.
Mm.
And they're just as accurate and just as good. I'm not saying that our other ones won't do that, but when we were preparing them, there really wasn't anything out there shooting that fast.
Right.
So we didn't really need to make that part of our ploy, so to speak. But I guarantee you, the other ones will handle it as well.
Well, that's, I mean, because that's what everybody always, you know, says, it's marketing hype. But I mean, I've hit, I don't know about you guys, but I've had them pass through the OG. I've had the Rift. I really like the Rift. That's right now, because I haven't shot the other one. It's probably my favorite right now. I've had them go through and hit rocks, and it hasn't damaged the tip on some of these. I mean, have you had that, Jake or Braden? Have you had it where it's gone through and hit the rock?
Yeah, so that buck. Go ahead, Jake.
No, I was just going to say, not gone through, but I know when I was sighting in, I shot over one time, and where I live, it's a bunch of rocks, and I know I bounced it off a rock and picked it up, and it was fine. Like, it didn't go through anything, but I mean, the tip hit the rock, and it deployed, and still just put a new shear pin in, made sure everything was good, went back, aimed a little lower, and I hit it, so.
Yeah, so as I was saying, that deer I showed earlier, it was a 30-yard shot. It was a straight pass-through. And I was hunting, I'm down around where I live, I mainly hunt mountains, so with mountain comes rocky terrain, so it's almost guaranteed you're going to hit a rock or something if you get a pass-through. It passed through, I heard it hit the rock, and my first thought was, I was like, well, there went $15-$20. But I walked up to it, and it was perfectly fine, so I got home that night and put her in some hot water, cleaned all the blood and the fat and the hair off, and like Jake said, I took it out in the yard a couple days later, put the tip on it for a practice head, and shot it, and it, everything was good to go on it, so I still run it in my quiver today. Might not be my first choice of arrow as I pull out, but I'm confident enough where if I missed three times and I needed to, I'd be confident enough that I could use that and it would do just as good.
So the question I have for you two is, I've cleaned these and re-put them on. What's your professional opinion? For those out there that want to reuse them, they're hearing this now, like, wow, I can reuse these heads. I can kill more animals. You said one of the hunters did it with nine animals with one head. What's the secret to clean it? Do I need to soak it overnight, or, you know, what's the trick?
Basically, I just use soap and water. Just, you know, rinse it off real good, clean it out. You don't really need to leave it soak unless you let the blood dry on it, and it's hard to get off, but you rinse it off as soon as you get back to the house or whatever, and it's just going to be cleaning up just like clean anything. There's no big dark secret to it. You just clean them up and use them. I would recommend getting the multi-tool that we sell, and then that way you can put it in the ferrule and clean it all out and make sure that there's nothing, no mud, no debris or anything to prevent the blades from sliding up and down the ferrule freely. That's basically what it's designed for. It's designed to cut the shear pin. It's designed to clean it out. It's a multi-tool. And I guess that's why we come up with that name. But yep. I run mine through it and then just make sure that the blades slide up and down the ferrule freely, and you're good to go.
That's what I was kind of hinting at that, because I figured you could talk about that. I use this thing. It's a great tool.
It really is.
This is like, if you don't have one, you know, everybody says, oh yeah, you just want to sell another. No, really, you need to get this. It's kind of like the nocturnal tool to turn off your lighted nox. Yeah, you could take another arrow and do it, but like, if you don't want to booger it up, just get the tool. It makes it easier. Shear pins. I remember when they first came, the shear pins didn't come attached to anything. They were just very loose. So what's the future? What are you guys looking at as far as new heads? Are you still continuing down the range of maybe bigger cut diameters? Are you looking at more fixed blades? What are you thinking long term here?
We've got ideas we've been kicking around. Really can't say a whole lot, but let's just say that, you know, we're not going to stop there. We've still got some ideas coming down. We're just in the business to make blood and kill animals, and the most effective way we can do that. And if we can come up with a new idea, which, like I said, we have a few ideas, and if they work and we can put our seal of approval on them, then you'll be seeing them within the next year or two.
Yeah, man. Maybe we get out to ATA again this year. Maybe we'll be able to, maybe you guys will have something launching there, huh?
It's too early in the year yet. We'll have to wait and see.
It's the journalist side of me. I'm trying to get him to put some, give us a nugget. That's what I'm trying to get out of him here.
he's not giving.
He's not giving, no. You know,
I will say there may not be some drawings, and there may or not be some things that we've tested, but that's about as much as I can say at this point.
We'll take it.
We'll take it. Yeah, that's So talk a little bit about the shear pins, the differences between the crossbow. You mentioned that earlier, and I didn't quite understand that because I ran out of shear pins on my crossbow one. Now, I didn't get to shoot it yet, but the orange one is still in the crossbow. I forget the name of it now. The purple one.
Okay, that's the X or the HP.
HP. Okay. So what would happen for somebody like me who ran out of the other thorns, to put it, what would happen if I ran a OG or just a orange one through it on a crossbow? What's is it not going to deploy, or what happens?
It would deploy. The biggest concern that we would have is the design behind them is the black shear pins are crossbows because they're just a little bit more stout.
Okay.
The orange ones are a little softer because of the speeds of the crossbow. You know, the orange shear pins take 8 pounds of continued pressure to deploy. When you shoot it out of your bow, your average, you're going to spend about 4 pounds of pressure. So you've only got 4 pounds of pressure when you hit your target that's going to deploy those blades. So when you're shooting with a crossbow, you've changed that from 4 pounds to 6. Depending on the speed, you can go 6 or even 7, maybe 8, depending on what you're shooting. So there's that slight risk of premature deployment. And that's the reason that there was a difference between the shear pins. You can shoot an orange one and a crossbow, but you might get it. There's always that chance, you know. I can't say it's 100% going
right.
to work.
No,
it's going to work, but it might go just a little bit before you're ready for it to.
Well, that was just my care. I mean, because you're in the middle of hunting season, you just shot a deer. You used the last shear pin that you had, so you grab another shear pin just so you can go out the next day and hunt. You know, obviously, you know, it might take a week to get shipment. It might take 3 days. It doesn't matter. That's 3 days down that you can't ship. I guess that's why I was asking, like, in a pinch, probably could make it work.
Right. In a pinch, you could make it work. I wouldn't do it consistently.
That's fair enough.
You do know we can sell you extra. For a commercial, we'll sell you extra shear pins.
There you go.
So, and if you call us directly, call Andy, he'll overnight them to you. So we can get them out to you. That's not going to be a problem. But it's not going to be the end of the world if you use the wrong shear pin, and you know, if you use
a compound crossbow.
It's not going to be the end of the world. But I'm not going to sit here and tell you with confidence that it's going to work.
It could
go off early, and that's my biggest concern.
Well, and that's why I wanted to bring that out here, because somebody had asked me that question as well. Like, hey, I have the crossbow ones, or I have the black shear pins, and I want to put them in a compound bow one. You know, like, how much force does it take to activate one of the ferrules? You know, how much kinetic energy? And I guess it really depends how hard of what you're hitting, right?
Right. Basically, that's, you know, yeah. your bow or your crossbow is going to determine how that broadhead is going to react as far as the pounds of pressure it's going to take. On average, a compound bow is, you know, like I said, is about 4 pounds. Mm-hmm. So you're looking at 4 pounds or less to deploy that blade once you hit your target. Crossbows, there's so many, and there's so many different speeds, it's hard to say, but you're looking at anywhere from probably 6 to 9 and just in flight. And then from there, so that's why we, you know, use the black ones for crossbows and use the orange ones for compounds.
So now, one of the big things that, you know, a lot of hunters do, they shoot with their field points all season. Then they go out there and they start shooting with their broadheads, and they're shooting low or they're shooting high. With the thorn broadheads, you don't have that problem. And one of the ways that you guys have, we mentioned this earlier in the show, but I wanted to show this and, you know, have Roy talk about why you guys came up with the, you know, a lot of broadhead companies, they give you that fake plastic, or I shouldn't say plastic. It's a really junky aluminum, like, first shot, and it basically breaks. Let me wait for this to focus up here. But basically, Here, there we go. You have this clip. Let me go over this way. There we go. You have this yellow clip that's around the top, which prevents the ferrule from deploying the blades, which is genius, right? So you can shoot this into 3D targets and shoot your leagues with it. I've done that. Tell us where that innovation came from.
Well, you know, we've always said that we have field point accurate. We are field point accurate. You don't need to practice with our broadheads. But don't take our word for it. And we wanted to prove to you that you didn't have to take our word for it. So that little clip there is basically, it goes between the ferrule and the tip. And that prevents that tip from plunging down and shearing the pin. So you can practice with it as much as you want. And what we've done this year is we've actually released a practice pack. So it's got yellow shear pins to match the practice clip, so they're even a harder one, because if you practice enough, now you do know that this is no bag targets, this is foam targets only.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very critical point.
Yes,
because it is a rip tip, it's a cut on contact tip. So if you try to put that into a bag target, you're going to you're going to destroy your bag target. It's going to rip it out, and it's just going to totally destroy it.
See, I told you, Jake.
That's why we put that little warning on the package. So it is foam targets only. But after you shoot that 6, 7, 8 times into a foam target, you know, there's going to be just a little bit of pressure coming on that shear pin, and it will eventually deploy. So we come out with the other shear pins on the practice pack, so that if you're going to practice a lot, then use the practice pack so that you can shoot it all day and it'll never deploy the blades, because the shear pins are that much stronger.
Wow. And you could put them in any heads, those shear pins?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Wow. That's incredible. It's like, you know, like I said, my buddy, he was using these. We were using them for shooting 3D. They don't leave any bigger hole than like your normal field tip. And we were going through, and it's like you're using the actual head you're going to hunt with. And I think, you know, that's the draw. Because, Jake, didn't you tell me that you always had to sight in your broadheads? Like, you never could just go out there, and when we originally told you about this, you were like, really? You're muted, bud. Oh, we'll have to see if we can get him, but... Oh, there we go. Are you back? Oh, maybe the storm's interfering. What about you, Braden? Have you had to change anything?
No, I mean, like I said, I've been shooting mechanicals for a while. Whenever I shot fixed blades and whatnot, yeah, I absolutely had to tweak and tune my bow here and there for broadheads, but no, since I started shooting thorns, I haven't had any issues.
Mm. So, Jake, I think I got him back here. Go ahead.
Hey, can you hear me now?
We got you.
All righty. I was shooting Swackers first, and I liked how they performed. Then I went to Wasps, and I mean, they were good too, but still, it kind of didn't fly as true, because they had all the blades and stuff sticking out. So it was difficult from putting a field point on to putting the extra broadhead on, because I know there's been a few times that I'd sight in for 20. I mean, my group's like super tight, and I pull a broadhead on, and I'm like 3 inches left, and I'm like, this makes no sense. I just put the broadhead back on, shot the same exact arrow, dead center. So there is times, and then I'd just be like, okay, well, I have to aim 3 inches in either direction that I need to, which isn't fun to do when you're in the woods and the heat of the moment. You got to try to line your shot up, and then remember, oh, I got to lead the deer, or I got to put it a little behind it. So, that was definitely one of the draws. Took the broadhead off, put the field tip on, shot it, and then did it vice versa. Took the field point off, put the broadhead on, shot it, and I hit the same exact hole. So,
and that was one thing I know, Roy, that you guys were doing at ATA. You were giving out sample OGs. Now, I don't know if you've done that recently at the ATA show, like 2021, but you were giving out, and you're like, guys, you don't believe us, try it. Like, it was the actual head. Like, go try it. Like, we're that confident that we're giving you one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's just, it's one of those things, you know, you got to see it to believe it. If you have to see it, then we'll show it to you. Because we are that confident in our product that it's going to fly like your field point.
What we're going to do right now is we're going to take our final break here, and we're going to come back and see if there's any final thoughts that Roy has before we wrap up the show. So stay with us. We'll be right back right after this. All right, we are back, and so Roy had an idea here. We're going to do this, is to what? Properly put in
the shear pin.
Shear pin, yeah. Let me get this here. So go ahead, Roy. Tell everybody, like, what do some of the people do? What's some of the issues that come up?
Well, if you'll notice, whenever you hold the shear pin up, it's kind of looks like one of those little people from the Game of Life.
Yeah.
The actual shear pin itself. And if you had the little cars, you could play games with it. But it's designed like that for a reason. And the little indent there, the little head on top of it, you can see his little head and shoulders there. That actual indent, or that actual little gap there, that's where the blades are supposed to ride. When you put that shear pin into, you're going to pull it all the way flush. You're going to kind of feel just a little pop, and then you know that it's flush on the one side, just like you have right there. And that's how you properly insert it. Then you just take the multi-tool and you cut that extra off. If you don't have your multi-tool
with, I don't have my multi-tool with me here, so but yeah.
So you can use a pocket knife, but if you just cut that end off and then you're ready to go. We've had people in the past say that, you know, the shear pin's not deploying, it's too hard. And we find out they stick it in till it stops, and then they cut both ends off. They don't pull it through all the way. And unless the blades are riding in that little indent right there, you're not going to get proper deployment on the blades. And that's just.
And you can see right there, I don't know, maybe you guys can't see, but it's actually, the ball gets recessed in the hole. It's not correct. Completely flush. So if it's not recessed, you didn't pull it in far enough. So you can see, you know, the way I have it there. And like he said, just take a pocket knife or the tool. I have the tool out in the garage, and then you can just lop that off, and, you know, it'll go flush. But some of us decided to split hairs and do it in half. I don't know. This guy here.
I don't know who that was.
So
yeah, so that was my first time I decided to put it together, and I just thought it was all rubber. Rubber's rubber. Don't cut it. And I slid it through like you're supposed to, and I cut it. And I'm like, oh, they gave us a lot of extra, so maybe I can use that for the next one. Put that through again, cut it off, and I'm like, wait, this doesn't seem right. It's tight, but it don't seem right. And then, of course, I did all my heads that way. And then I'm thinking about it. I'm like, I don't want to shoot these and not let them deploy. So I think I messaged someone over at Thorn, and they're like, no, it's a one-time use per head. So I'm in there with a needle trying to poke it through the other side to reinsert a new
should have got the multi-tool. Shear pins.
So, yeah, I think that was before they... they came out. I have a multi-tool now because of that. I bought one and bought one, but word of advice, it's one per head. Save yourself the frustration.
And he works in, Jake, what do you do for a living?
I'm a full stack engineer, so software developer.
So there you go, folks.
Computers, and
he's in
my head a lot.
He's an engineer. Couldn't figure out how to put a shear pin in, so
Nope.
There you go.
Now we all learn how to do it, though.
So I have to pick on the engineers. I have to pick on the engineers all the time because they sit there and they're so smart, and then they'll sit there because I also work in tech and with the cameras, and the engineers will be like, oh, no, we can't do it that way. Well, why can't we do it that way? And they're like, oh, yeah, why can't we do it that way? It's like common sense just goes right out the window.
It does.
So
it's sad.
Braden, did you make that? I actually didn't make that mistake. I pulled it in, didn't have an issue with it. Did you pull it through?
Yep. Yeah, I followed the directions. So.
All right.
We're just roasting Jake here.
There's got to be one of us that doesn't. So I mean, one always gets on me. We get something, and it's like, here's the directions, and of course the male. Decision of our heads. We're like, no, we don't need directions. We can do this ourselves. And of course, we get halfway into it and we're staring at it like this. And my wife will come over and just like lift something up, put it in place, and walk away. And then, of course, I get frustrated because she read the directions, so she knew what she was doing.
Wait.
I figured, Roy,
I figured it out. I figured out how he messed this up. So what happens is y'all are shipping these with the new Thorn stickers in it. So he forgot to do this and then look down here at the step-by-step instructions on putting the shear. That's what it was. That's how he did it.
Yep.
we'll blame it on we'll blame it on the sticker.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely a lapse of judgment there.
Yeah, yeah. So what other things, Roy, before we get to wrap this up, what other things do people most commonly make mistakes at that maybe you can address with these heads?
Well, like I said, the shear pin has always been our biggest battle. Once we get through that and everybody realizes how easy it is, and then they do it properly, and that eliminates the problem. Bag targets. Everybody's got a bag target. Everybody wants to use the bag targets. And we call it a rip tip design for a reason. And when if you shoot it into a bag target, you'll understand why it's called a rip tip. But you know, cut on contact head, it's gonna cut as soon as it starts touching, and the bag targets are just gonna be it's not gonna look pretty, and you're probably gonna lose your broadhead because it may not come out of the bag target either. So unless you just want to keep a bag target full of broadheads, I would recommend getting some foam.
I do. I shoot it into Morel has that high roller.
Mm-hmm.
So I shoot it into the high roller because that'll take pretty high feet per second.
Yeah, that's good. Big Shots has a good one.
Yeah.
Morels are good.
But there's certain.
My granddaughter likes the Big Shots because when you put them on the bottom, they have a groundhog, a gopher sitting there. She likes to shoot the gopher. So.
I mean,
I got her to shoot. She killed a nice 8-point this year, so she's only 8, so she did pretty well. She was using a crossbow. She did it by herself.
So there's a question in the chat room that came in. He says, why, my brother, he actually put it in, he says, why not make the shear pin the exact size so that you don't have to cut it? I think I know the answer to this, but I'll let you answer it because.
Okay. If I made it the exact same size, how would you get to pull it through? And basically, that's it. We made it the size we did so that it's easy to use. It's easy to get in. It's easy to pull it all the way through, and then you just snip it off.
Yeah, that's what I would have said too. Like, how would you pull it through? Come on, Mr. Engineer, how would you pull it through? Come on.
Well, I was thinking, why not use, if you just put it in, why can't you use your multi-tool? Just set it in there and just use the multi-tool just to push it in the rest of the way and have it seat in there. You really don't want the extra, but again, that's more work and everything else when you can just pull through and cut it. But
have you seen
ease of use?
Have you seen how flimsy this thing is? I would love for you the next time. I want you to film you pushing that through with the multi-tool.
I'll do it.
Okay. You film that. I want to see it.
He's going to prove you wrong now.
You won't see how many takes it takes.
Well, no. Keep it running, because then I'm going to send it to Roy, and I'm going to be like, see this smart Alex? See what he did?
I'll cut it to size. And then I'll try pushing it through, and we'll see what happens. I'll sacrifice a shear pin for that.
Oh, boy. All right. I have a feeling, even if he cuts it short, he's still not going to be able to get it through. That's just my... That's my thought. Because that's going to be tough. But I agree with you. It needs to be long to pull it through on these heads. So, I don't know, man. I have no intentions. You know, we talked about this before. We said, you know, look, you know, we know that you guys partnered with us and you've been taking care of us. But the fact of the matter was, even if that wasn't the case, we've all said that we would still be shooting these heads because we've killed animals. I think, Braden, you said it best. Like, once you find a head that works, tried and true,
yep,
you got to stick with it.
Why change?
So I would encourage anybody that's watching this right now, if you're looking for a broadhead, as Roy said, the new XVs, very affordable. Get you set up a set of those. And even though he likes the OG. So, Roy, is that what you would send people to if they're starting out? Would you send them on the OG?
It would all depend on their setup.
Compound bow.
Compound bow, that's my go-to. That's what I like.
That's what we do.
And yeah, that's what I'm going to go with. The XV, when we were field testing these, I've killed a lot of animals with it, and it performs great. But whenever you get that first kill with that first blade, it's just hard to get off of it. You know, it's like right, the first time you drink chocolate milk, you don't want to go back to white milk, right?
Yep.
Well, we really appreciate you taking the time to join us today to talk about these heads and new heads. And you guys, make sure you check it out. You can go to thornbroadheads.com and check out all the different options that might suit you. And you can go and purchase tools. They have all the different tools on here. The shear pin, as we have it pulled up, there's extra shear pins because Jake's going to need them because he's not going to be able to push it through with the tool. If you just want to try one, you get 3 shear pins and you get the practice attachment for the ferrule. I mean, $25. You get a rift for crossbow or for your 125 grain if you're compound, or 100 grain. It's up to you. What else, Roy?
Yeah, we have 100 grain and 125 grain for both compound and crossbow. We've got the practice pack now that if you just want to go out and practice with it, you know, that's something else. That it's got the tougher shear pins. It's you know, that's a new option that we added. We've actually got the multi-tool. We're here, and we've got customer service. You know, we thrive on the best customer service out there. 99% of the time, if you call, you're going to get a real person. We're not going to put it on a voicemail where you have to push 1 for English and all that. You know, we're going to try to get there, and we're going to try to meet your needs, and we're going to take care of you.
Well, again, you guys can check that out on Thorne's website and also at any trade show. You guys have been going to a lot of the trade shows, ATA and some different ones down south, right?
Mm-hmm.
So right,
yeah, we've gone to a few of them. ATA is always the big one. And, yep. You know, we don't do a whole lot of public shows, just simply because a lot of the shops that carry our products, we don't want to compete against that. So if we start doing a lot of public shows, then we've got a lot of the stores saying, you know, you're at the show doing these show specials. So we leave that up to the shops to do all that. We pretty much just do the manufacturer shows. We do the Kinseys and all the big shows.
Well, again,
we're normally at those shows. So if there's anybody, you know, we always have a shirt on. So if you see somebody, just stop and ask the question.
Yeah. Yeah, they might even stop you in the hallway on your way back from lunch.
That's right.
If
you have a video camera, you know, we will stop you.
Steve and Greg, that's what they do. They'll be out there and they'll grab a hold of you and tell you that this is the best. And no, but you guys have always been gracious. So we really appreciate you coming on here. Guys, make sure you check out Thorne Broadheads. Again, thanks, Roy, for coming on. And also, this guy here, even though I don't even know what to say.
I'm going to dig out my pack and I'm going to do it.
I want to see a video. You can follow Jake on Instagram, .com/OxenChevy. And then also Braden. You can check out Braden on Instagram.com/Braden07 and TikTok and all those other good places. If you missed the last week's show, Braden did a great demonstration of the Trophy Line stuff, and we'll get the folks on from Trophy Line to show off some more saddle. I got my sticks today, so I'm pretty excited from Muddy. So, but it's great to have you guys on here. And guys, again, next week, we're not sure what day we're going to do it next week, because I know Braden has a meeting on Thursday, so we might do it Wednesday. We'll have to figure that out. But we'll let you guys know, and we'll talk some fishing, because this upcoming week, this Saturday, some trout fishing is going to open. I know we'll be there, hoping to do very well. So bring your fish stories. Bring your stories, whatever. We'll see you guys next week for more stories from the cabin with No Boundaries Outdoors.